Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi of the Gospel Distribution Ministry. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will give utterance and give us some good exhortation today. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Today, I want to talk about the full redemption, bringing it out from the scriptures. What is the full redemption the Lord has purchased for us, that are sins of the Most High God? Starting from the book of Genesis chapter 3, we see what was lost by Adam in the fall. So let's see what we are to be redeemed from. How did the fall of mankind came to be? You all might know the story. In Genesis chapter 3, this is a teaching, so open your Bible. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 said, "Now the serpent," this was after Adam and Eve had been in the garden for a while. The serpent is actually representing the devil. When you go to the book of Revelation, you will see it said the serpent, that old serpent was called the devil. But according to the inspiration by many prophets of our time, the serpent in this Genesis chapter 3 was depicted to be an animal, one of the animals created in the garden, but before it became a crawling animal, because you see in this judgment in chapter 3 there that God said that serpent would be crawling and not be able to stand up, which meant that serpent that before it was caused was upright, standing, able to talk to Eve in this story. And the Bible described the serpent in verse 1. It said, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." Now, this definitely is symbolic when it says any beast of the field. Symbolic that Satan was actually the one that was more subtle. And Satan came in form of a serpent, possessing that animal called the serpent in this chapter 3. And he came, the Bible said, and he said unto the woman in verse 1, "Yea, as God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now, it's very important that when you look back at this story, you may say, what is this? God never said, "Neither shall you touch it." She added that to it. Because when you go to Genesis chapter 2, when the commandment was given to Adam, definitely before Eve came along, Adam was told not to eat of the fruit. That was Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. From verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." That was all the commandment according to this Genesis chapter 2. Thou shalt not eat of it. Now you have to see from the way it was reported here that Eve was not created by that time. So definitely we can say the instruction was passed from Adam to Eve. Maybe when it was passed it to Eve to make it stronger, he said, "Don't even touch it." So the woman said, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. But see, when you add some more things, it becomes debatable. Look at verse 4. "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." The reason why I said, if you add to the word of God, the devil has opportunity to debate it with you and to slide you. And that was what really happened here. If you say, well, he said, neither should you touch it. And the serpent said, well, look, I'm touching it. Did I die? So, and the verse 4 said, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So he tried to pump up her ego of desire to be great, which is pride. Not so, So you can see the test that really came. It's actually the pride of life. Like the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What are the love of the world? He said the lust of the eyes, that summarized in the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So when you see that in the epistle of John, 1 John chapter 2, you see exactly what John was summarizing. That was exactly all the temptations. Every temptation of the enemy, the serpent, Satan can bring to human beings can be summarized into those three categories. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And if we can keep ourselves guarded in all those three areas, we will be overcomers every time, overcoming the devil every time. So that is very important. And the devil came there to tempt Eve, and he brought in the pride of life. You will be as God. You will be great. And that's pride. And she started meditating on that. She started thinking on that, which she shouldn't. Now, let's see what the Bible said. We should be overcomers. In this same time, we must be overcomers. That means we must overcome all those temptations also. But that will be the next sermon. We eat that overcome shall inherit all things. But the fall came because of that. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14 and verse 16 and 17 and verse 19 talks about the punishment that came after they have sinned, which you can read the whole of Genesis chapter 3. My sermon today is not about the fall, but that's just leading to what did they lose by the fall. In verse 14, God pronounced the judgment upon the serpent because of deceiving Eve. In verse 15, God said he will put enmity between the serpent and the woman. And in verse 16, God pronounced the judgment upon the woman, greatly multiplying thy conception and thy sorrow. And in verse 17, which is where we're going, is the judgment that was upon Adam. And it was actually upon the ground. See, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth of thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now that last phrase there was the cause of death, physical death of mankind. And for physical death to occur, diseases and sicknesses are the initial stages of it. And old age is in part of the stages of progression to death. So you can see what Adam lost. They lost peace of mind. They lost that all the provision that they have to labor now to get provisions. And then finally they have to die. Now the Lord God promised redemption in verse 15 to redeem mankind. When he said in verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee, as the serpent, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So that was the promise of a seed of the woman that shall come to bruise the head of the serpent. And that was actually prophetic, prophesying of the Messiah that will come to save mankind against the seed of serpent. The seed of serpent is actually the Satan himself and satanic forces upon the earth. They are the seed of the serpent. Not just the animal, but the spirit called Satan. You see that in the book of Revelation chapter 20, where it says that old serpent was cast out of heaven in chapter 12. And in chapter 20, it was cast into the lake of fire. Now let's see how God began to bring the redemption back to mankind. He gave us the promise through Adam. God chose one man, Adam, to come through Adam, that through Adam the whole world shall be saved. And God has to prove Adam for all of those and bring in the Messiah. And so what is the redemption to bring back to us? Since human beings fell through sin, from that sin of Adam and Eve, sicknesses and death followed. So the redemption then will have to be to redeem us from sin. So God has to start with the sin nature, to redeem mankind from the sin nature, And then sicknesses and diseases and death also have to be removed. If the sin nature can be dealt with, then sicknesses and diseases and death will also be dealt with. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he started giving us the promise of the Father. Here is what the Bible said, that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. In Galatians chapter 3, let's open to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Like we said, sin was in the world. Because the sin was in the world, the punishment that follows sin is diseases and then death and hell. But God planned to redeem mankind. So he has to send his only begotten son in, he said, created in the form of, in the nature of man, to redeem them that are under the law. Let me first read that to us in the book of Hebrews chapter 2. And that is how God has planned to redeem us, to bring us back from the sinful nature first. And then when sin is dealt with, then sickness and disease will follow. But, and death also will be dealt with. But let's see. Here is in the book Hebrews chapter 2, the letters of Apostle Paul to Hebrews chapter 2. From verse 14, he said, "For as much then as the children, that is we children of Adam, the first Adam, are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself," that's Christ, and that's Messiah, that's God coming in the form of a human being, "he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So the Lord came to deliver us from the bondage of sin, and from the bondage of corruption, from the bondage of sickness and diseases, and from death. To deliver from that death, he has to give himself over to death also, so that he can set us free from death and from sickness and diseases. Now, in the letters of Apostle Paul to the Romans, let's see in Romans chapter 8. Let's read from verse 19. Romans chapter 8 from verse 19. He said, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subject the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grow within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." What we are trying to talk about here is that the full redemption has to do with redeeming us from sin, that we make sicknesses and death to be taken away. And when Christ came and he died on the cross and is now calling us unto himself, he said we must be born again. A new nature, a new creature is given to us to deal with that sin nature. "As many as received Christ, to them gave he the power to become sons of God." And this new nature is what he is doing. So he said we become a new nature in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Apostle Paul told us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. "All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new." So why? What does he mean by all things pass away? The sinful nature pass away, and we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. We are a creature that sin cannot have dominion over us anymore, because the Bible says we are no more a sinner. Say anyone that is born of God does not commit sin. That is because the Spirit of God, you see, the seed of God will remain in you. You cannot sin because you are born of God. Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 that therefore if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. See, we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. That is dealing with the sin nature. And like I said, the wages of sin is death. See, but the gift of God is eternal life. So when we have delivered from sin, then we are no more under the wages of sin. And then that means the physical and the spiritual death is eliminated from us. They say, well, is it automatically eliminated? The spiritual death is eliminated for us because our spirit is redeemed. But the physical death is still to be believed on, like our sick, like the sickness on the body. You have to use your faith to resist the devil, and the just shall live by faith when it comes to physical body. Why? Because the physical body has not been redeemed yet, and that you can begin to exercise your faith to claim the promises of God for your body. And what about our soul? The renewing of our soul, the renewing of our mind is done by the washing of water by the word. While we are still here, we have to renew ourselves daily by the word of God for our mind, for our soul to be renewed daily. But our physical body is to be redeemed at the end. But while we are still waiting for that full redemption, that redemption of our body at the end, which is a new body that we are going to get, those who died were going to be resurrected to be given a new body. We hope that our life and remains in the coming of Christ will be given a new body at translation. But the body we have right now, we can keep that body free from sickness and disease by exercising our faith in the Word of God, by exercising our faith in the atonement, the promise, and the completion, the completed work of God, of Christ on earth. Because the Bible says He was wounded for our transgression in Isaiah chapter 53, from verse 1 to verse 4. He was bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. So now we have to believe that and exercise our faith in that and confess it, and then we possess it and we resist the devil by the authority he has given to us when he said, "These signs shall follow them that believe in me. In my name shall they cast out devils." So we have to cast out devils that are doing all those evil work by the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I said, they shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. So we can lay our hand upon ourselves and recover our body from sickness and disease. And that is how we overcome sickness and disease that is trying to tear down the body. And if we continue to do that, we are exercising and experiencing and enjoying the power of the world to come. Because in the world to come, there will be no more disease, no more sickness, no more healing, no more infirmity, no more pain. As the Word of God has said in the book of Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22. So then we can say, once the sin nature is dealt with, we are back to God, we have access with God, we have right to the throne of grace, and get God is on our side, and we can exercise our faith. And because we are already raised together with Christ and seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principalities, we have authority over all those powers of darkness that are doing all those havoc. And we are to resist them. Like the policemen, we are to control them, subdue them. That's what the Bible says, subdue the earth. And when we subdue them, they are commanded to obey us, to obey the sons of God. And that's how we subdue and put sickness and disease under our feet. And when we have that, that is the part of the full redemption, is redemption from sicknesses, redemption from sin that give us the access to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Then redemption from sickness and disease, because He gave us the authority and the power. Look at it in the book of letters of Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Told us that we have been raised up together with Christ and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that puts us as having authority over those forces of enemy or forces of the devil that are causing diseases and sicknesses and all those troubles. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, Apostle Paul was describing the position God has placed us. In verse 4, say, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, and has raised us up together," that is, we are raised together with Christ, "and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But where is Christ Jesus seated? See where Christ Jesus is seated in verse chapter 1 of Ephesians. Verse 20, he said, "When God has raised whom according to the working of God's power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him," He raised Christ from the dead, "and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places." So this is where Christ is seated, at God's own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So that is where Christ is seated, far above all principalities and powers. But the Bible says in chapter 2, verse 6 that we just read, that we are also seated in heavenly places inside Christ Jesus, like I call it, inside Christ. Christ Jesus is the head, we are his body. So we are seated where he is seated. So when you understand that and you believe that and you exercise your authority like that, you subdue sicknesses and diseases that are being caused by demons, by evil spirits, by those principalities and powers. And that is how the full redemption is realized in us. And then in the final end, physical death also, because the physical death is being implemented by Satan and all those principalities and powers of the devil. And so if we have authority over them, we can control physical death. And that is why the Bible said the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Why does the Bible call it the last enemy? Because it will take our faith to rise up to the level where we understood our right. And it is at this end time that we are beginning to understand the position God has placed us, saints of God, inside Christ Jesus. We are to understand that position, and we are to understand our right. We are to understand the authority God has given to us, and then begin to wield that authority by the spoken word, the word of God. And then we'll be able to control even physical death, because even the death angels are principalities and powers that are expected to be under us. Why? Because we are seated above, far above all principalities and powers. Who are the we that are seated? The church, the body of Christ, anyone that is born again, anyone that is part of the body of Christ, you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been born again, you are seated inside Christ above all principalities and powers. Me and you, we are seated inside Christ above all principalities and powers. We are to believe that and then exercise our authority. Say, well, they are not obeying us. They will obey us. We have to enforce it. We have to enforce it seriously and maintain our ground. And not back up from them. You say, well, but they are hurting me. No, they must remove their hand from you. And that is what the Bible said. We are not going to yield. Let me give you a testimony. Several years ago, there was a friend, a man that I met in the church that I was attending. And I was to give him a ride to he wanted to stay with me overnight because he was a visitor in the city. So I was taking him, and I noticed that he was having problems, some ailments, some demons are tormenting him. They would just pinch him, and he was feeling some pain and so on and so forth. So while I was driving, I told him that, hey, you have to resist those things that are pinching you, causing pain in your body. So because each time I pinch him, I could see him grasping for his hair or grabbing the place where they are pinching. So as we were and I was driving the car back home from the church, this thing pinched him. And I told him to speak the word of God to that thing that pinched him. I gave him the Bible, I said, just say it out with your own mouth and say, I have authority over you, devil. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, I am already healed. And I told him to say it out. And immediately he said it out. You know what the devil did? The devil pinched him more. And he grasped and said, he pinched me again. I said, yeah, you have to know it's a warfare. But don't back off. I mean, now the fellow is afraid to say it again. I said, don't back off. You have to say it again at least 2 or 3 times for the devil to know that you meant it, and for the devil to know that you understand your right and you know your authority. You can't back off because he pinched you again. That is what the devil specializes in. If you speak the word of God to him, he will try to attack one more time. But you say it again that I stand my ground. The Bible says at the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. When you say the second time, he has to back off. If he does not, say one more time, he has to run away. Because that is the authority of the word of God. Because God is on our side. God is on your side. But you have to maintain your ground. That brother was afraid to say it again. I said, no, don't be afraid to say it again. Say that Bible verse again. Say it to yourself. Say it to the ear. Say it to that devil that pinched you. That I believe my right is that Christ has healed my body. By his stripes I was healed 2,000 years ago and I am healed today. If that man said it again, that devil will have to run off. Because the first time the brother said it, the devil pinched him one more time. And I said, no, say it one more time. No, she was afraid. No, you can't be afraid. You have to resist the devil steadfastly in the faith. That's what the Bible says. And that's what I'm trying to make you to see, that we have this authority and we have to enforce it. When we enforce, how do we enforce it? By insisting on our right. Insist in what you said. I gave a testimony in some of my sermons where somebody in a vision, God just showed this one to me in a vision so that I understand what he's telling us, how we enforce this authority. In this vision, I was passing by and I saw two men are fighting. They were fighting like wrestling. One knocked the other one down, and the other one that was knocked down simply died. When I got there, I was trying to wake him up. And then the Holy Ghost spoke and said, "He's on this side." So the Holy Ghost took me to the other side in that vision, where I saw almost like to another section of the area. And I saw this fellow, of course, it has to be his spirit now, tied to a stake with a chain. And I went there and said, who tied this man down? Let him go. I said it now with raised voice. And then the people, the men that were around there look around and they look at me. The guy that was responsible for tying him down, our eyes met. When our eyes met, I recognized he was the one that was responsible for it. So I just said it one more time. Let him go. Though if I didn't say one more time, that means I was afraid. But I said it one more time. Let him go. And then the man waved his hand and the chain broke off. So the Lord was speaking to say, I must say it twice. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. That is the ordinance of God. So when I first said it the first time, the man looked at me. And I had to repeat it. I said, let him go. Then he just waved his hand and the chain fell off the man. The guy that was to be raised up just rose up and came to me. Now that was one thing I got a learn from that story, is that we have to maintain our right. We can't back off. We can't be afraid to say it. That brother in the other vision where I said in another time, this is physical life that I say I was driving to my house and he was a passenger in my car, and I told him, hey, if that thing pinched you, just say that by the stress of this guy I was healed. And when he said it, that devil pinched him one more time, I said, and he said, he pinched me again. I said, well, say it one more time, don't be afraid of him. And that is, we have to maintain our right, because we are actually seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principalities and powers. Just like those demons are like rebels, they are like thieves and robbers in the world, like these armed robbers. You have to beat them away, beat them down for them to run away from you. We have to beat the devil down for him to run away from us, like the Bible said, but Christ has already beaten him down. But we are like what you call the occupying force, like somebody put it one way. So we are the occupying army. Christ has already defeated the devil, but we are the occupying army to just enforce it. And how do we enforce it? By simply repeating what is done, what Christ has done. The victory Christ has wrought, we are repeating to the hearing of Satan and to the hearing of all those demons. They have to bow. They have to obey us, as the word of God said. They have to back off. Now, again, I was saying the full redemption is redemption from sin, which Christ has given to us when we are born again. By His Christ we were healed. He wanted to say we became new creatures in Christ Jesus. Then He gave us power over sickness and diseases. Like we have said, we have to confess that by faith. And we become the people that are enjoying the power of the world to come. Then He said we overcame physical death also, because the wages of sin is death, physical and spiritual death. But when we have been set free from sin, spiritual death is dealt with. We are no more. We are not going to the lake of fire. We are not going to hell. Why? Because we have been redeemed. We have been bought with a price. We belong to Jesus Christ right now. Thus, we are saved from the spiritual death. But what about physical death? The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The Bible said the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But you see, like we said, all those death angels who are principalities and powers that we are already seated above them, we are just to know our authority and begin to enforce our authority on earth, because we are actually seated in Christ Jesus above, far above all those principalities and powers. And some of those principalities and powers are the ones that are causing physical death. And if we understand our right as body, as the believers, as body of Christ, that we are actually seated above them in heavenly places, then we have authority to control them, to command them, to release whoever they have held bondage in death. And they have to obey. But we have to maintain it. That's what God is teaching us right now at this end time, so that we may emphasize or stand our ground against death angels. And then until death itself is subdued under the feet of the church, under the feet of the body of Christ. And that is where I'm going to stop today. The full redemption has been brought by Christ. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10, Christ has abolished death. See what I'm saying? And has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's the summary of it. Christ has actually abolished this physical death also, not just the spiritual death, because He said He has brought life, that's both physical and spiritual life, and immortality. Immortality is talking about physical life, because only mortal men need immortality. So we are called mortal men because of the physical death. Now, when we have immortality, means he has given us that immortality back when we can claim it. It is we repossessing it because Christ has revealed it through the gospel. He said, through the gospel, he has revealed it. We are now to understand who we are in Christ and begin to enforce our authority over the principalities and powers that are controlled, that are dishing out death, physical death. I pray that the Lord will give you understanding, and we'll continue this in the next broadcast. Father, I thank you, Lord, and I pray for all the people that are listening right now that they will understand and they will begin to stand their ground against death, against sickness, against diseases, once they have been born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. And you that are listening to me, I command healing for your body right now, and beware in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.